and
boomers, ballers, lightship pilots, eighth wall advertisers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Welcome to the 75th episode of the Wayspotters podcast. Has it really been 75 episodes? Wayspotters is brought to you by the good people at the Pokemon Professor Network, and today is June 16th, 2023. However, if you're listening to this on Sunday, June 18th, it's Father's Day, and it's my birthday! And that means I am sitting on a beach in the Dominican Republic, sipping on something cold, and probably listening to the playback of the show. So yay, my birthday. So with that being said, we've got a lot of good stuff for you today. So pretty excited about the show. It could run long or it could run short, depending on how quickly we get through the material. But let's bring up the other person who's celebrating Father's Day on Sunday. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
Happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
And happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Enjoying my birthday. So I've got a couple of gifts that my wife has given me already because we didn't want to like pack them and take them on the plane. So she just gave them to me early. So, and then one of my daughters got me a brand new pair of Hey Dudes. And, you know, I love my Hey Dudes. You know, Hey Dudes should sponsor the dad joke segment. So if you're listening out there in Hey Dude land, you know, hit us up. We'll give you a good deal on sponsoring the show. But yeah, man, so it's pretty good. But we've got a lot of good stuff today. And not everybody wants to talk about my birthday as much as I want to talk about my birthday. But I understand that we need to do a correction for the second week in a row. Is that right?
Second week in a row, yes.
Wow. All right, so what's our correction this week?
So last week we reported that upgrades were broken, and I do remember that I said that they were fixed.
Yeah.
And they weren't. So they're almost pretty immediately people were just like, no. mine went through pretty quick, but I know yours didn't. So
yeah.
Santino and the team said, hey, we understand that they're not fixed. We're looking at a fix. So they...
I did my upgrade for science, remember, for science purposes, on Friday, last Friday when we recorded, and it didn't go through until Wednesday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, but it did go through. So it's in there now. I did go out and I spun one of them and hacked it. And I'm going to do the other one probably today because I wanted to, you know, get my buddy, you know, visit a new place. I didn't want to do them both on the same day. So, yes, correction, Niantic is making us go back on our word. So, can we say now that upgrades are fixed? Can we say that right now?
So, Tintino posted that they have applied a new fix, and they can already see it having a positive effect, but they said that last time. Right. But they have had some of the ambassadors and some other people say, hey, this is working. And there's a couple posts in the forum saying, hey, I had a bunch of upgrades, and they all resolved.
Okay.
So, fingers crossed they're actually fixed. I just sent a tweet out right now and saying, hey, the Wayfair team says that they're fixed. Maybe wait a day or so. Mostly because there's probably a huge backlog of stuff that's already upgraded that has to resolve and work through first.
Before they put in the new stuff.
Before the new stuff kind of gets
so
to the upgraded queue.
That's interesting you say that because the resort that I'm staying at, I did, you know, I drove the Google car around and looked at all the cells, and there's two like really cool, like statue, like, you know, like of a dolphin or, you know, some tropical animal that are not in the game and they're in open cells. So my plan was to use my two remaining upgrades and upgrade those so they would appear in the game before I left the resort. So I'm a little worried now to do that and then not be able to spin them and then use my upgrades for stuff that I'll never use. So maybe I'll just submit those and just see if they go through naturally in the DR and then someone else will get to use them, but then save my upgrades for things that are close to here. So that's kind of my dilemma right now that I'm going to look and see. So we'll see. Anyways, let's get to the news. You want to get to the news or you have something else?
Let's get to the news,
All right, hold on 1 second. Let's see what we got with the news.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wayspotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
I just love that.
I love it too. It's so good.
So, Chris, take it away.
Okay, so Niantic announced they are doing an AMA and a new Wayfarer roadmap for June 2023. So the question submission period has already started, and it will be over by the time you listen to this episode. Or actually, hold on. You will have until the end of,
Sunday
to get your questions in.
Yes,
the end of the day, Sunday before you get your questions in. And they're going to have a theme, what they call a theme forming period from the 19th to the 23rd. And they're going to have a, they're going to respond, rework through the responses from the 26th to the 30th. And then they're going to make a new roadmap, because they posted the roadmap, I think, towards the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
For the beginning of this year and for the last part of this year, but they're going to do another one, and they're going to post that along with the AMA community post on the 30th. So right. 14 days from the day of recording, 12 days from the day you're listening to this.
Now, I got a question for you. Will we get the AMA results first, or will we get the rewards for the challenge first? Boom, boom.
That's a good question. I think... And kudos to the Wayfarer team for this. I think that they've held off on giving us the upgrades because they were broken.
They didn't want to make it worse. Also. That's exactly what I thought also.
And like last time I didn't get the item rewards codes until like late. So I think they're kind of just focusing on fixing the upgrades before they gave the upgrades out.
Right.
And I almost wonder if the codes are the responsibility of like the Pogo team and the Ingress team.
I wonder that also. I would think just from what we've heard from them in the past, they've had to partner with those teams to get the rewards authorized. And you have to go to the Pokemon Go redemption site to redeem the rewards, and then you have to go on the Intel map to redeem the rewards for Ingress. So my guess is those codes are probably generated by those specific teams and then sent to the Wayfarer team to disseminate out to us.
Yeah, probably. So they said, we're excited to try out this new method that balances community voice fairness and the opportunity for us to increase communication about what's been happening and is coming down the pipeline for Niantic Wayfarer. Ambassadors will only have access to questions. No other account information will be shared. Because it's got three questions, spots for three questions, and then a bonus question for the ambassadors. Originally, you had to put something in every single one of the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So people complained, and then Tintino fixed it. So you only have to answer the first question. You can leave the rest of them blank, and then just hit submit. Other than that, I'm really excited about this AMA. We'll talk about that in a little bit again.
Yeah.
The only other thing is the Wayfarer Challenge. Like you said, the Wayfarer Challenge rewards haven't gone out yet. I suspect that we will get the upgrades this weekend.
Okay. I've got several things to use the upgrades on. So if you're listening to this and you have your upgrades, then bang, we did it. And if you don't, we had nothing to do with it. No, I'm kidding. No, I really do think, Chris, you hit the nail on the head that they're waiting to, they are waiting to make sure the upgrades are fixed before they flood the system with the upgrades. And I'm a little bit worried because everybody, what was the number? It was like 3,200 people. Like fully participated and got all the rewards they could. So just think, multiply that by like five. So you're talking about 15,000 upgrades that are going to be live in the system on top of what people already had. So I think they're probably kind of taking a deep breath saying, oh boy, what's going to happen when all these upgrades hit? Everything that's upgraded, theoretically, the way I see it, is going to float to the top. And then everything else that's a natural is going to kind of get suppressed. So hopefully people are reviewing to see those upgrades, to get those going quicker. So that's at least what I hope is going to happen.
So remember those three things in Toronto that I nominated?
Yes.
I upgraded the two of them. They've both been accepted. I got fed up. I had the other one was still in queue. I upgraded it before we started recording. It's in voting.
Oh, good. Okay, good, good, so, good, good.
If you're listening to this, I think upgrades are fixed. It's funny because I clicked on it and I got the little pop-up in the bottom corner like, saying you had ended voting. I'm like, no, there's no way.
Yay, awesome. All right. Well, you alluded that we were going to talk about this a little more, so let's get into topic number one. So topic number one, as you probably guessed it, like if you're listening to the Wastewaters podcast, you can probably guess what our topics are going to be if you're paying attention. We do our best. Let's just let me repeat that. We do our best to try to stay timely, to try to keep up with what's going on with everything in Wayfarer. And then every now and then, our second topic is usually something that's a little more personal to myself or a little more personal to Chris. And it's something that we want to take a deeper dive into. So this one, number one, is very meta. It's very basic. It's very white bread. It is, we're going to discuss the AMAs. So first of all, I want to know, what do we want to know from the Niantic team? What questions should Wayspotters podcast submit? And what questions do you think should be submitted that we really want them to answer? So let's start with those first two bullet points, and then I'll jump into the other bullet points. So, Chris, so first of all, what do we want to know from the Niantic team?
I think the biggest thing, from what I've been reading on the responses to the forum post on this, was the last couple AMAs, they've answered one criteria clarification question out of like the last three AMAs. So right. I think that's the big one. They need to start looking at these criteria clarification questions and actually answering them. And I think this new format is going to lend well to that because those criteria clarification questions, that's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
Never got voted enough to make it into the top 10 or the top 15 or near the top of the leaderboard for questions that they were going to answer, right? Not that they actually held on to top 15 last time, but you know what I mean?
Well, then remember, there was some... People said that there was some inappropriate voting going on with the last one, and they thought some people were manipulating it. So they did not answer it in the manner that they had answered the previous AMAs. They kind of lumped them together. So hopefully this Google Sheet prevents that. And I guess we'll see. I guess we don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I remember you and Lachlan asked on if someone from the team was going to get come on the show, and it got like what, third, I think.
Yeah,
they never answered that one.
Yeah, they never answered that one. And people were blaming us, and I'm like, I can only vote once. Like, if 97 other people voted for this, like, that's not on me. Like, there was no inappropriate voting going on my side. So, people obviously, and I think that goes to something, people obviously want to hear from the Wayfarer team, right? There's just something different. So, not to derail, which I always do, always derail you, Chris. But if you look at the Ed Wu article that he did with Eurogamer, that wasn't even an audio interview. And then if you look at the interview Zoe Two Dots did with Michael Steranka, people ate that up because it was an actual Niantic employee on the mic in front of a camera being accountable, answering questions. And it's one thing to go on your own personal controlled forum where you can shut off comments if it's not going the way you want, or you can just, or you can just not allow any comments and just make a statement. But when someone is asking you questions and you've got to be accountable to that person, look them in the eye and tell them what's going on, there's something about that. And I think the Wayfinders and Explorers want that, and they feel that they deserve that. Other than when we talked to Dan B. Lee, no one from Niantic Wayfarer has ever gone on record with their voice and said anything. And I think the explorers out there would love it. And it doesn't have to be us. It's not, well, of course we would want it to be our show, but it doesn't necessarily have to be us. It could be any of the creators in the space. I think they just want someone to come on and be accountable and say, hey, I'm Tintino, I'm Niantic Tib, I'm whomever, I'm Niantic Aaron, LG, whoever. This is my voice, and I'm telling you, here is what our roadmap is, and I'm going on record, because once you record this and put it out, it's out there in perpetuity. The Zoe Two Dots interview will be out there forever. Even if she were to take the video down, someone has probably recorded it. And I think, you know, the Explorers want someone from Niantic to come on record and do that. And we are pushing behind the scenes to try to make that happen. As of now, they have not agreed to all the terms to come on the show. So we're going to continue to work on it.
I think it would be beneficial, and I think right after the AMA is posted would be the perfect time for someone to come on.
Right.
Or not even, like you said, that doesn't have to be us. Somewhere, some creator just to say, hey, we're going to come on. We're going to have a chit chat, like a live talk about some of the top AMA questions.
Mm-hmm.
Some extra clarification. I think that would be the perfect time, right after the AMAs.
I agree. I agree. Maybe someday we'll make that happen. So, yeah. Chris, what questions did you submit?
I have actually submitted all of my questions.
Okay.
I couldn't think of one for the ambassador, so I kind of just gave them a high five.
Right. So,
I asked for clarification on restaurants and gyms, because there's a lot of discussion on the forums about eligibility, blah, blah, blah. And you know how I feel about restaurants.
Yes, I do. That's the hill you're willing to die on.
Yep. Yeah. So I asked for clarification on what chain business means. How did I word it? Multiple locations, stuff like that. My second question was, I asked about the basketball courts on K-12 grounds for the NBA All-World. And I asked for what happened, because it's still broken.
Right.
And I asked if they were open to the idea, or if they had plans for overhauling the reviewing UI.
Right.
Because so, it needs to get overhauled.
It does. I have not submitted my questions yet. I have a few that I've been kind of mulling over, and I wanted to make sure that I got them the right manner. But here's essentially what I want to know. I want them to talk to us about reviews and the way in which reviews are disseminated to the way spotters, right? Because if I submit something right now, Charlotte, North Carolina, how far out is that going to go? Who's going to see it, right? So my guess is, and maybe I shouldn't assume, but my guess is that Niantic knows within, let's call it 100 kilometers of where I submit that stop, they know how many active wayfinders are in within 100 kilometers, right? I'm just going to assume they have data that they can tell. There's 13 people over the last month who have reviewed at least 100 way spots or whatever. So they know how many people are going to see it. So it's a question that I don't know that they really want to answer, because they would have to give up a lot of data that they have. But I want to know, why can't they, or maybe they can, why can't they adjust their reviewing radiuses to get things seen in a much faster way? Because I've showed you on screen, and I've showed you like off screen, like I have things that are 6, 8, 9 months when they're still in queue. They're not even in voting. And there's got to be a better way. I submit a lot. I have a lot of stuff that's just sitting there. And outside of upgrades, there's no other way for me to get those through quicker. And then when the upgrades are not working, then I'm really just kind of stuck. So I'm going to formulate my question to ask them, have they thought of ways to increase eyeballs on the review? They're never going to tell us how many points or how many stars they need to get it, which is fine. I'm fine with that. But yep. If I submit something today, is there a way to get more eyeballs on it quicker without me having to use an upgrade if upgrades are not working? So that's one of my questions. And my other question I'm going to submit is about they said 3 years ago, the red, yellow, green, or the yes, no. You know, and I want to know about that. Are we going to get the red, yellow, green? Are we going to get the yes, no? Are we going to get a thumbs up and a thumbs down? The way we have it now, it's not broken, but it doesn't feel good. So those are the two questions I'm gonna ask. I just have to type them up in a way that they can actually answer it, because what I want to know, I don't think they're going to tell me.
Right. Yeah. So it's funny that go back to the first question that you asked there. I remember when I wrote that article about when I posted on Reddit and said, or Reddit and Twitter and all that, say, hey, give me ways that you feel that Wayfair can be improved. That was one of the suggestions. And I think it was HP Munchcraft said, came up with the idea saying, hey, if my location isn't voting for X amount of time or in queue for X amount of time, let's increase the radius of people that can see it because it's been languishing for too long. So let's get more eyes on it without having, and then just, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think it's a fantastic idea. And I think asking that question would maybe prompt them to relook at it.
Right. Because they're never going to tell us it needs 100 eyes on it, right? And then out of those 100, it needs to be, you know, 75% approved or 4 stars or 3 stars. Like, they're never going to tell us that because they are fighting enough right now with review rings as it is, which I think we're going to talk about. Yeah. Maybe not today, but maybe next show. We'll talk about you and your voting ring. So we'll get into that later. But all right, my next bullet point, Chris, is do you anticipate direct answers from the team, or do you think we'll get Niantic speak?
I see. I think it depends on the questions that they pick. So I think that we will get mostly direct answers because they will have direct control over which questions that they answer. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to pick questions and then dance around the topic for a bit and say, all right, moving on.
Right. And exactly.
People just kind of go, well, why did you even, why even pick a question if you're not going to answer it?
You know what I mean? So they'll pick, so you think they'll pick not necessarily layup questions, but questions that are, that fit the roadmap and that fit their, where they're going, and they'll answer those questions.
Yep. Yeah. I think we'll get more direct answers this time.
Yeah, I wish, I wish there was a way we could say, okay, out of the AMAs, here's 3 questions you have to answer from the public. Like, regardless, you've got to answer these 3. Now, I know Niantic is a huge company, and they've got comms people who, that's their job, is to make sure that questions get answers in a way. Like, at my company, we have the same thing. We've got a whole team of communications people, and their job is to make sure that we answer the questions we want in the way that we want. And the questions that we don't want, we have a way to say, you know what, we're looking at that. We've got a team working on that, and we'll get back to you. And then we don't. That's just the way it happens with any company, right? So, all right. But I appreciate your answer there. All right, next one. So there was, like I alluded to earlier, there was a backlash the last time we had an AMA. There was some alleging that there was some stuffing of the ballot box, to kind of put it lightly, and that they did not answer direct questions and they grouped them together. So you just answered and you said you think there's going to be more direct answers because they're able to control the narrative to be able to answer it. Now, I'm going to change this question up a little bit. What do you think we are going to get from the ambassadors?
That's a good question. I honestly couldn't think of anything that I wanted to ask the ambassadors directly that didn't sound like a layup question.
Right.
I don't know, honestly. I don't know what the community is going to want to know from them. I anticipate that their answers will be far more direct than anything that we get from Niantic, because they are people who are volunteering their time. They're not kind of, I don't anticipate any of them will break any NDA, but.
True. Yeah. Do you want me to tell you what I want to know from them? What the question that I'm going to formulate for the ambassadors are, now that we are coming up to the second half of 2023 and going into 2024, do the ambassadors plan on having direct contact with the Wayspotters? Meaning, I have a problem. Can I message ambassador number 1 or ambassador number 7? Or, you know, or is there going to be a direct link where if Niantic is busy, the ambassadors can jump in on the helpline or on the forums and answer questions? Is Niantic going to let the ambassadors have autonomy to reach out and do direct communication with the public? You think I'll get an answer to that? Or you think it'll be, we're working on it.
I think that you'll get, and it's going to be interesting too, because there's a lot of ambassadors, right? So if you ask a question of the ambassadors, are you going to get an answer from every single one of them?
Well, we also have ambassadors that speak several different languages. So if someone's in Germany, if someone's speaking German and they don't speak English, we have a German ambassador who can answer the question, or Spanish ambassador, or whatever it is. You know, we need one that speaks Southern U.S. We need one of those. So, okay, I just offended a whole bunch of people, but I live in the South, so I can do that. So yeah, that's going to be my question. So I'm pretty excited, Chris, about the AMA. Very excited to see what happens, and hopefully we get some good things, and you know, hopefully it will continue to build that trust amongst the Wayspotters, the explorers, the wayfinders, that Niantic is building up, because right now I think Niantic Wayfarer is probably the most trusted team at Niantic. I mean, outside of Ingress, everybody loves Ingress, but you know, Niantic has been hitting a lot of singles, doubles, and home runs right now, where Pogo hasn't. Pogo's starting to do it, but I think Niantic Wayfarer continue to build up that trust. And you know, when Chris and I are in New York, we're going to have a discussion with him, and we're going to ask again if they can get someone to come on the show and we can hear their voice. So we're going to keep pushing for that respectfully. They've turned us down a couple times, and we were close to having them on when Lachlan was on the show, and then they had a change in leadership, and then the leadership that came in decided they wanted to pump the brakes and they wanted to kind of get their feet under them, and they said, you know, oh, we're not ready to do it. We want to wait, and I respect that. So,
yeah, no, fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yep. All right. Last thing, Chris, what excites you about this AMA? What's got you all jazzed up?
I'm excited for a new roadmap.
Yeah.
Right? I'm excited to see what the Niantic Wayfarer team has planned for the back half of the year, because they did so well, I think, with this latest Wayfarer challenge, and they've been so good at communication and so good at recognizing when stuff is broken and getting it fixed and being out there fixing abuse and just interacting with the community. I'm excited to see what they come up with for the answers. I'm excited to get some answers to some much needed questions. And I think we're going to get that this time around. And yeah, I'm just excited what the back half of 2023 has for Niantic Wayfarer.
Yeah. What's your one prediction? What's your one hot take on what we're going to see in the roadmap?
Ooh, I don't know. I think we're going to get a UI overhaul. I think we're going to get maybe not the back half of this year, but I think that they're going to say, hey, it's coming. We're working on it, because it's a big project. And I think that's why it's been kind of in the background for so long.
You want my hot take?
It's tough because we don't have Pogo data mines from Wayfarer. I know, so right? We don't know if they're working on
it. We need that. We need it. You want my hot take?
Yeah, what is it?
My hot take, and this is hot. This is like boiling hot. This is like Skip Bayless hot. We are going to see reviews inside the Wayfarer app. I said it.
Oh,
that's my prediction. Is at some point in the second half or into next year, we are going to see reviews in the Wayfarer app. That's my hot take. That's my prediction for the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024. How about that? Is that a hot take?
That is a hot take. They did, although they did say that they were planning on having a global rollout of the Wayfarer app at the back half of 2023. So you might be onto something.
You know what? Who cares about a rollout? Campfire is doing all this stuff, and not everybody can get Campfire. So they've shown that they don't have to have a rollout for everything. Being Niantic, they'll just do it, right? So I'm not worried about a rollout, but that's my hot take. All right. Does that close the books on the AMA? You think we talked that to death? I'm pretty excited for it.
I think we talked it to death. I think we're
pretty excited for it. So yeah, once I get my questions in, I'm probably going to do it while I'm sitting in the airport, and just do it that way, because I'll have like the headphones on and I'll be like not distracted and I won't be like in the DR yet. So I'm going to do it on the plane. Well, you know what? I might even do it on the plane, because I'm going to buy the Wi-Fi package on the plane, because it's a 3.5 hour flight and I need something to do. And that's a great time to sit there and do that. So, all right.
Yeah.
Topic number two. Now, all right. I have to preface this topic by saying thank you to everyone in Wayspotters land who reaches out to us on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, right? We have some people that listen to the show as soon as it drops, and they are in our DMs, they're in our mentions, they're on our YouTube page, and they're sending us things. And so Chris and I had a couple of conversations last week about inclusion rules. And what's funny is we got a message from one of our longtime listeners, Trip Tando, a couple days ago asking us our thoughts on inclusion rules for the various Niantic games. And what's really funny is sometimes I think our listeners are like reading my mind, because you and I will be talking about stuff in our little Discord chat, and then somebody will send us a message and I'm like, damn, are they in our chat or did they see that? So Triptando, like, I had something completely different planned to talk about for topic number two until you hit me up. And then Chris and I have been talking about this for like 3 days in a row. And I wanted to give you a shout out, Triptando. And if you're thinking about it, that means other people are thinking about it. And if people are thinking about it and talking about it, Chris and I are going to talk about it. So we want to get into inclusion rules. So I want to just kind of give a brief snapshot of what inclusion rules are, and then we can go from there. So each one of the Niantic games has rules for how their POIs enter the game board. So Niantic has never officially, except for that one time in Seattle when the campfire people talked about it, Niantic has never officially acknowledged the use of S2 cells. What they've told us is S2 cells are a thing, and S2 cells are used for mapping. But they've never said, we use S2 cells for mapping our games. And if you listen to the Wood Wolves Wolf episode a few weeks ago, we talked a little bit about S2 cells. So back to inclusion rules. Pokemon Go has the map broken down to the level 14 and the level 17 cells on the S2 map. Level 17 cells, there can only be one POI in each level 17 cell. And I forgot to go back and get the exact measurement of how big a level 17 cell is, but I don't know, Chris, what would you say? Maybe 10 meters by 10 meters, 15 meters by 15 meters, maybe? Oh my God, it's a little bit bigger than that? Yeah. So you can only have one POI. Yeah, I think it was. You can only have one POI per level 17 cell.
77 meters.
There are six. There's what?
77 square meters. Yeah.
No, 77 square meters. Perfect. Yeah. You can only have one POI in each 77 square meter level 17 cell. Now, there are 64 level 17 cells in each level 14 cell. So think about that. These little ones are 77 square meters, and there's 64 of them in a level 14 cell. So level 14 cell can have a total of 3 gems in there, right? So you get your first gem for Pokemon Go when your second POI in that level 14 cell is approved. You get your second gem when you get your sixth POI approved, and you get your third gem when your 20th POI is approved. Now, these do not count sponsored stops. So if you've got a Starbucks or something else in there, it does not count. It will sometimes make a gem pop up when it shouldn't, but that breaks the rule. More times than not, that sponsor stop is not going to count. If you look on the IITC map, it's not going to show up on there because it doesn't count. Now, when it comes to Ingress, it's a little more nuanced. So Ingress is, as long as it is 20 meters away from a existing POI, it will appear on the Ingress map, irrespective of the cell. Now, I'm going to stop there because I just ran out of knowledge. Now, when it comes to Pikmin Bloom, when it comes to Peridot, when it comes to other things, I honestly don't know. I haven't been able to figure out what the inclusion rules are for those. Because Pikmin, it will change. You know, you'll get some flowers in some places at some time and some flowers at other places at other time. If you want to know more about that, ping Saramanda. She is the Pikmin champion. But Chris, let me stop there. Let's just make sure, fact check me. Did I say everything okay for the inclusion rules for the two big games?
One correction, and it's a correction on me, not you. It's not 77 square meters for a level 17 cell. It's somewhere between 70 and 77 meters per border.
Per border,
depending on the curvature of the earth.
And gotcha.
So it's 70
gotcha.
To 70
gotcha.
Square.
Right. Because depending on where you look on the map, some look like squares. They look like squares where I'm at. But like in Portland, where I'm from, they look more like diamonds because the earth is curved and it looks more like a diamond curved, versus a square where I'm at. So depending on where you at in the world, that squarish, rectangular thing is going to rotate around and look a little bit different. So that's the inclusion rules. All right. So Trip Tando reached out to me and asked me a question, and he was very animated. And he was like, why does Niantic keep this a secret? Why don't they just tell people what's going on? And his question really to me was, ask Niantic in New York, why can't Pokemon Go and the other games have a Intel-ish, and I'm doing the air quotes, Intel-ish, Intel-like map for Pokemon Go, so when people are submitting, they understand if this is going to go in the game, if this is not going in the game. And then his second question was, we've got a Wayfarer app. Why don't they just overlay the S2 cells in the Wayfarer app? So then you can see exactly where it's going to go and spell out the inclusion rules. So, Chris, we've talked about this a lot. Why does Niantic keep this a secret?
Because they're afraid people will abuse it.
Okay.
That's the long and the short of it. I would love to live in a world where that wasn't the worry, but we don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Niantic cares more about getting way spots on the map in their accurate locations than they do about whether or not it appears in Poco or Ingress or Pikmin Bloom or Peridot or NBL. They don't care, right? I mean, they care, because obviously if you have no POIs in your games, then you can't play it, but they would much rather. And I think that's why the Wayfarer team is separate from all of the game teams, because there's no direct influence from like the Pogo team saying, hey, you know, we could use some more stops in this area. And then the Wayfarer team's like, no.
Right.
Right. You got your rules. Your rules are your rules. Live with it. Right. I think they're worried that it would too many people would take advantage of the system if they knew.
Right. Now, as a rebuttal to that, Trip Tando made a great point. He said, Jamal and Chris, I see plenty of Ingress portals that are exactly 21 meters from an existing portal. What are the odds of that happening? So his point was, abuse is already happening when it comes to the 20 meter rule in Ingress, and that has a direct bleed over to Pokemon Go. If you told people and educated people, maybe that wouldn't happen. So I know there's always going to be bad actors out there, but what's your rebuttal to that?
I mean, we talked about this last week. I think the no disrespect to Wayfinders who play Pogo exclusively, but I think generally speaking, the people who play Ingress are more apt to know inclusion rules than people who play Pogo.
That's fair. If you look on the Facebook, anyways, go ahead. Yes. I'm not going to dip my toe in that pool.
No, yeah, it's probably a good idea. I go back and forth with this a lot. I would love for them to come out and say, hey, here it is. Because there's sometimes when I'm doing reviews, be like, oh, if you move that 2 meters, 3 meters to the left, it would be in a different cell. But then there's other times where I'm doing reviews and I can tell that people are obviously trying to put something too far away from where the POI is just to get it into a new cell.
Right.
Right. And that wouldn't happen if they didn't know about the S2 cells.
No, right? I gotcha. So,
I think that people who play Pogo are more apt to abuse that knowledge than people who play Ingress. Because Ingress, you just got to keep it 20 meters away and you're good, right?
Right, exactly. Whereas
Pogo, it's more nuanced than that.
So my saying, what's a few meters between friends, right? Mm-hmm. That is not meant in a negative way. And that is not meant to bend any rules. So the way that came up, that was back in the Lachlan days. And Lachlan used to give me the hardest time about things. So the example I used was, I was nominating a statue, and it was a statue in a park. And imagine it's on a pillar. So it's got, you know, the four different sides, and the two of the sides of the statue were in one cell and two of the sides in the statue were in another cell. The sign was in a cell that was currently occupied by another POI. I nominated it into this in the cell to the right that did not have the sign. And his argument to me was it needs to be in the one on the left because that's where the sign is. And my response was, what's a few meters between friends? I'm not nominating the sign. I'm nominating the statue. And I'm nominating the part of the statue that's in this other cell. So it's a few meters from the sign. So when I put the picture, I didn't take a picture of the sign that said who the statue was. I took a picture of the side of the statue and nominated the statue there. And I used the sign in the supporting picture because I wasn't trying to be deceptive. I was trying to make sure that that showed up in a different cell. And if someone walked up to it, when they looked at the picture in Pokemon Go or in Ingress, if they were standing where they could see that vantage point, they were in the correct cell that I nominated in. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, 100%. And that's fine, right? And that stuff is stuff that Niantic is okay with, right? Because your pin is still touching the statue, and the statue is the thing that you're nominating, right?
Yes.
And let's be honest, like when you're looking at that map, it's not going to be 100% accurate anyway, right? Because maps move and sometimes they're like a little bit off or a couple meters off.
Right.
But it's the situations where, like, I ran into locally where that sign that I nominated got rejected and then somebody else nominated it 250 meters away in an open cell.
Exactly.
Like, that's the kind of stuff.
Right. Now, to Triptando's point, how would knowing about S2 cells, how would you prevent that? Or how would someone knowing about an S2 cell officially help them cheat in the way that you're talking about?
So it's because if you can look at an S2 map and say, hey, here's the cells, here's the POIs that are in that cell, and I've used it dozens, hundreds of times to plan out stops, right? And if you do it accurately, you're fine. But if you're looking at it from a perspective of here's an open cell, I want something to be in that cell. I'm going to just find something, take a picture of it, say it's in that cell, and wing it and hope it gets through. And then you end up with stuff that's 150, 200 meters away from where it's supposed to be.
And so your point is, if people knew that that cell was empty, that would motivate them to find something to put in that cell when there's nothing there.
Correct.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. Now,
I want to show you something real
quick. Yeah, go ahead.
So talking about S2 cells, here's a good example of how to use this system properly.
Okay.
Right? So we've got...
Tell our audio listeners what you have on the screen right now.
We are looking at a group of soccer fields that are kind of lined up north to south. There's three soccer fields and a playground. And the playground's in the top left-hand corner, and then in the center of the screen, there's three soccer fields. So what this person has done is they nominated the top soccer field off the field to the left where the goalposts are, right? So that's in its own cell. And the goalposts of the second field, so the middle field, are in a different cell on the right-hand side. So they nominated that soccer field on the right-hand side of the three, right? Mm-hmm. So now that's in its own cell. And then the third is in its own cell again, and they went back and they nominated that one on the left-hand side. They could have done the left or the right. It really wouldn't have mattered, but the left is closer to the parking lot. So that's probably why they did it on the left there. But each of those pins are on the soccer field or beside the soccer field to a point where that's the soccer field. They're not illegitimate pin placements, but they are in each one of them is in. So all three of them will appear in Ingress and in Pogo.
Right.
Right. Whereas if they had have just done all three on the left, you would have gotten all three in Ingress, but not all three.
But not they're all going in Pogo. So they were strategic about it. That goes back to the argument or the discussion we had a while back about tennis courts. And does each individual tennis court deserve its own POI, or is it one POI per tennis court?
Right.
Or yeah, basketball court or one of those.
I am a firm believer in each one should be its own.
Me as well. I'm a min-max guy, so I'm like, I can see it. And so I actually did that yesterday, day before. I nominated 4 POIs at tennis courts. And these are like, this is like a huge tennis center, and there's like 9 different courts. And I was able to get 5 of those courts in by the way that they were set up in there. And I think that's legitimate because they're each one. I don't need one for each one. Now, people are going to have their own individual ideas about how they do it. But luckily, where I play in my play area, people tend to think the way I do. So what that does is that gives us a much more rich experience to play in Charlotte because we have more POIs versus that bank of tennis courts having 2 POIs. It's going to now have 5 POIs, and it's going to trigger a new gym in that level 14 cell. And everything is right where it's supposed to be. And I'm just using, I did paint the corners. I will say that. So there, you know, I did like paint the corners and put them in places so they didn't overlap, but everything is legitimately right in the spot it's supposed to be. I didn't move it anywhere. I just was very selective about where I put it. So,
yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah. So Triptandos, one of his last questions was, don't most people know this stuff already, Chris?
No. I would bet money that the majority of the people who play Pogo have absolutely no idea. And I would say probably 70% of the people who are making nominations have no idea.
You know, you might be right about that. I've seen a lot of duplicates lately. This deserves to be in the game. I'm like, it's in the game. It's just not in your game. So, and I think, and that's part of his frustration, right? So, again, Triptando, thank you for this. But part of his frustration is there's a lot of dupes. There's a lot of people that are submitting dupes, and they're submitting legitimately really good way spots. They just have no idea that it's in Ingress or it's in something else, or there's something else in that cell. Right. It's not that the statue they're nominating is it's legit. But the reason why no one has nominated that statue is because the Little Free Library 15 meters away is in the same cell. So no one has gone through and nominated it. So that's part of his frustration. So his last question with inclusion rules was, Chris, and this is one I know that you've touched on before. Should we get rid of the 1 POI per level 17 cell rule? Should we get rid of that?
Yes. I firmly believe that we should.
Okay. And why?
And I said this in our little chat with them. I find the 20 meter rule in Ingress odd because if you've got stuff, and I went down to the park the other day, and I shared this with you and Kate, the cons. There was a bunch of red portals down the park. So I went and I popped a Ingress version of a Lucky Egg. I can't remember what it's called. And I took out a bunch of them.
Apex.
Yes. Yeah. I took out a bunch of them, and it drops like a ton of items.
It does.
So every time I would click on one, it would like pop up 4 different things and be like, which one of this little cluster do you actually want to interact with? So I'm like, why do they have this 20 meter rule, right, to keep portals away from each other when it's just going to give you an option to pick?
Exactly.
Where you don't have that option in Pogo, right?
Right.
But it's just, so Pogo is the cells, right? But you could have stuff that's 1 meter away from each other,
and then it'll give you 2 boxes to choose from. Like, I love that about Ingress. Like, I didn't mean to click on that one, but I can go and choose the one I want to click on.
Right. And you can't do that in Pogo. So I submitted a tiny little playground in a new subdivision, and it went through, and it ended up in Pogo, and it's on top of another stop almost, because there's another one right there, and it just happens to be in a different cell.
Right.
I'm like, this is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So why don't they just say, hey, Pogo, 20 meters, you're good. I don't care about your SLs. They would have to, and I said this to
Kate the Cons.
Kate and
I think you said it to Triptando also. I think I know.
Triptando, I sent it to Triptando. They would have to rework the gym creation rules.
Right.
Because you would have a plethora of new gyms popping up everywhere, and it would break the economy in Pogo if there's too many gems.
Yep.
Right? Because they want people buying coins.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want people just being able to... I don't know, you can get your 50 pretty easy, but I think if there's too many gems, it might break the economy.
Right.
But
because majority of Pogo players don't get their 50 every day.
Right.
If there was more gems, you would get your 50 every day and you would buy less coins.
Yeah, 100%. Right. Like, I'm lucky I have a gym that I can hit from my couch, so I get my 50 every day. But
right.
Not everybody has that. But I think it, the time is now to revisit those inclusion rules for Pogo.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree.
People are abusing the S2 cells as it is. I just think it's time.
I think it's time for a gym rework. Not that we want to dive too deep into Pokemon Go. But I think it's time for a complete gym rework with the way gyms work, the way you fight gyms, the way you get coins in gyms. And if they're going to do that, just rip the Band-Aid off and do the whole thing. But that would be, here's the problem with that, Chris. You would have to have all of the Niantic properties all sit down in a room and agree to do something like that. And if it takes them weeks to agree on what the prizes are, I can't imagine what that would take. So that might not be something that I don't disagree with you, right? I think it's time for a shakeup, and I think it's time that Niantic looks at inclusion rules, because you know, we talk to the guys from A-Realm, wonderful people, right? They get to pick which they get to make it their own inclusion rules. Remember when they said that? They get to pick which ones they want, right? So these inclusion rules we have are 7-8 years old. They might even be some of the original field trip inclusion rules. And it's time to shake it up. You know, I think Trip Tando brings up a great point that it's time for us to look at what we're doing with the game and games. And Wayfarer is the engine that drives everything. If you don't have if you don't have Wayspotters, you don't have Explorers, you're not going to have anything new in your game. We saw that to those of us who played Ingress way back when, and only Ingress agents could nominate something. And you had to beg, borrow, and steal stuff to get an Ingress agent to go nominate it for you. And how much better the game is now that everybody above a certain level can nominate something. And that's another topic for another day. Do we need to blow that up and say, if you have access to the Wayfarer app, you can nominate? Doesn't matter your level. Do you have to be level 31 or whatever the number is to be able to nominate? I don't want to get into that now. But I think this is a bigger issue that hopefully our friends over there are listening to this, and their blood is boiling right now, because they're like, don't make a problem that we don't have, but you do. But I'm just definitely telling you,
come on the show now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'll be respectful. If I see when I see Tintino, you know what? We got to bring back that Tintino song before New York. But when I bring back Tintino, this is one of the questions I'm going to ask him, is this. So I just want to give another thank you to Trip Tando. Thank you for bringing up a topic. This spurred on a lot of conversations with Chris and I and some other people. And we definitely appreciate listeners bringing things to us, and we will definitely talk about it. So, Chris, we're running a little bit long, and I want to be true to what I said a couple of weeks back with my funny news story of the week, and I want to go over that now. So last week we spotlighted Canada, British Columbia, and this week I want to spotlight Sweden. And our funny news story of the week comes to us from Sweden. And now, Chris, you have kids, right? You've got a what's your youngest child? How old's your youngest?
My twins are 9.
Your twins are 9. Oh, so this is timely. All right. So let me read you guys the headline. Teachers fed up with 11-year-old kids wearing diapers to school. It's a worrying trend. So teachers in Switzerland. Oh, did I say Sweden? I meant Switzerland. Switzerland. Sorry, Sweden. You're coming up in a couple of weeks. Teachers in Switzerland are complaining about too many students wearing diapers in class because they don't know how to use the toilet. Kids are going to school as early as 4 years old now. So yeah, you might actually find some still in diapers. Dagmar Rösler, head of the Swiss Foundation of Teachers, told a Swiss newspaper, 20 minutes, I'm assuming that's kind of through 60 minutes. Many tots have been so accustomed to wearing diapers that they lose interest in transitioning out of the convenient yet unsanitary method. Some parents let it slide because diapers are a convenient relief and it's not seen as a problem these days, said an educational scientist, but that totally sends the wrong message. So, Chris, people are not potty training their children and they're keeping them in diapers as old as 11 years old. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that's absolutely crazy. I couldn't even imagine. I don't even have words. I understand that there are kids out there who it's from a development perspective need this, and I get it, right?
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
If you're just doing it because you're lazy and potty training is difficult, come on. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I'll link the story in the show notes. So this is not anyone with any kind of a disability or someone who's not able to make it to the toilet. It's not that. These are regular, old, healthy 11-year-old kids going to, what is 11 years old? Fourth grade, fifth grade, going to school wearing a diaper. That's just what it is. So they said it's a trend, meaning that there are several, more than one. If the New York Post wrote a story on it, it's more. So I will link this story in the show notes. And thank you to the two or three people who sent in a news story from your country. I will get to those, but I saw this one and I was like, okay, I got to do it. So if you have a funny news story or an interesting news story, hopefully not a sad news story, but funny, interesting, off the wall news story, send it in. I'll spotlight your country and we will talk about it. But this week is 11-year-olds wearing diapers to school.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. All right. With that, let's go ahead and take a break. Again, it's Father's Day, so we've got some extra funny, spicy Father's Day dad jokes, and we'll see you right on the other side of this break.
Thank you for listening to Wastewater's podcast. To all the dads and more cringy dads out there, bye! Thank you for listening to the Wastewater's podcast. Happy Father's Day. Ugh, get some better jokes already. It's season 2.
Why did the whale blush? Because he saw the ocean's bottom. Is BB hungry? Nope. BB ate. So, my friend cut his finger while he was cooking. He shouldn't have been using the sharp cheddar. Sorry, that joke was a little too cheesy. What do you call a sheep that knows karate? A lamb chop. The brand new Lego shop at the mall opens tomorrow, but I recommend avoiding it for a long time. People will be lined up for blocks. Hey everybody, it's not a dad bod, it's a father figure. Happy Father's Day. All right, everyone, welcome back. And again, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We appreciate you. Whether you are a dad or you have a dad, make sure you reach out to your dad and tell him happy Father's Day or the father figure in your life who may or may not be your dad. They are important also. Like I told Chris earlier, the Father's Day / birthday gifts have been rolling in and I appreciate it and all the messages I've gotten. So anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. Chris, it is time for Waste Spot of the Week. So this is a really good one. So let's go over Waste Spot of the Week and we'll bring this up on screen here in a second. So this Waste Spot of the Week comes to us from C-A-Y-L-O-N, Kaylin. And Kaylin, they are in the Georgia Wayfarer Discord. I tip my toes in that Discord every now and then. I'm not in Georgia, but Georgia's like a state and a half away. And that Discord is run by friend of the show and Wayfarer ambassador, Sea Princess. So, Kaylin, I want to thank you for this. This one is something that I have talked about for a long time, right? I love that Niantic has given us guidance that these signs for shopping malls and strip malls are legal. I haven't been able to get one approved. All mine get denied, but this one is good. So this one is so Southern, and this is why I wanted to talk about it. Chris, do you have just places on the side of the road in Canada where you can get boiled peanuts?
No.
Have you ever had a boiled peanut?
I have never had a boiled peanut.
Have you ever been, has someone ever attempted to sell you a boiled peanut?
No.
And have you ever seen a sign for boiled peanuts where it's B-O-I-L-E-D P-hyphen nuts?
No, I don't think that I ever have. This is amazing.
Right. So this Waste Spot of the Week for our audio listeners, it's a sign for a strip mall, and it's David's Produce and Specialties. And it's a blue sky in the background. There's a tree behind the sign, and it's a white sign with a red tomato on it, and David's is in green, and Produce and Specialties is in green. So it's your typical sign that you would see for a strip mall. And then, you know, below it, it has different things below it. The first one is boiled peanuts, homemade cakes, fruit baskets, and what's that last one? Oh, I can't even read that.
Shelled peas and butter beans.
Okay, Chris, I did that on purpose. Have you ever had shelled peas and butter beans? Do you know what that is?
No. I have no idea. I don't even know what that is.
You've got to come to the South. We've got some interesting food choices down here. This is such a Southern sign. Homemade cakes, fruit baskets, shelled peas and butter beans, boiled peanuts. This is great for a lot of different reasons. And being that this is in Decatur, Georgia, which is near Atlanta, this is something that the locals there are going to look at this and go, okay, of course this should be in the game. This is all the stuff that we see. And this is something that is a good representation of something naturally Decatur, Georgia, where if you saw this sign in Canada, you'd be like, what the heck is going on here? What's a boiled peanut? So I wanted to highlight this, and I wanted to thank Kaylin for putting this in their channel. This went right through. It was nominated on March the 19th. It entered voting on March the 25th, and it was accepted on June the 9th. So that's about common for the South, about 6 months, you know, without using an upgrade. So it went through. So great nomination. Thank you, Kaylin, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. I'm gonna have to Google some of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No idea.
All right. So let's go ahead and let's play the jingle for Coal of the Week.
Yes.
I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal, I found some coal.
All right, we found some coal. Coal of the Week number one. All right. So you guys know how I like to make Chris speak other languages. And then we invite people from that home country to judge his pronunciation and diction. All right.
Judge is a good word.
Right. All right. So let's bring up this Coal of the Week. So this Coal of the Week comes from Kroner from the Pokemon Professor Network Coal Mine channel. So Chris, you want to take this one away?
So for our audio listeners, I need to preface this. So for our video watchers, I need to preface this with the nomination itself is not the coal. The fact that the coal is they used a third-party photo, and they used a thumbnail of a third-party photo at that. So the actual photo that they used is just blurry and tiny. So this is a... It looks like a power box. It's a fairly large power box, and it's got a farmer on the left side, and there's some trees and a little archway, like an artistic archway on the other side, and there's a crest with a couple of crossed horns on it, and it's a beautiful mural. So this is a fantastic Wayspot nomination.
Right.
Had they not botched the photo so poorly.
and use a third-party photo and a thumbnail.
So the photo that I have up on the screen is the third-party photo.
Right.
It's like if you Google search this photo, it comes up. It's like the second result. The title is Glasfaser Hauptenstrom Kasten. The description is Besfruter Stromkasten. Let me share. And this is what the photo looks like in the nomination, and that's crazy zoomed in. It doesn't look so bad like that, but no, like it's bad. It's like bad photo. And don't it's a third party photo, and you can't use third party photos. Right. So
third party photos, you can't use it. So yeah, pretty cut and dry there. Don't use a third party photo.
Yeah.
Go out there, take your own picture.
Get out your car, take your own picture, and this will get approved absolutely 100%, no problem.
Absolutely will get approved, right. Awesome. All right, that's Coal of the Week number one. All right, let's move on to Coal of the Week number two. And this coal comes to us from friend of the show, Rob Meyer. So Rob saw this coal and was like, hey, I got to send it to you. Rob actually sent us like four coals. So Rob, we're gonna use yours over the next coming weeks. But what's interesting about this coal is Rob sent us an email at wastebotters@pokemonprofessor.com. So he sent this to us, and Chris, I forwarded it to you. And then I put the screenshots in our Discord channel. So he sent us a couple, and I picked one that I felt was pretty timely, because when do I not like talking about a tree? If I'm not talking about a tree, I'm talking about a live animal. So,
yeah,
this one here, let's see here. Let me pull this up. This one here is called Traverse Circle of Pines. This is a cul-de-sac located at Traverse Circle, Woodbury, in Woodbury, Minnesota, and then the rest of it is cut off. And the supporting text says, very good place to sit and chill while catching Pokemon. Lots of Pokemon spawn here, and people gather here a lot. So I know what you're thinking. So hold on a second. It's okay to mention Pokemon or Ingress or whatever in the supporting text. It is not okay to mention that in the main text. So this is not a reason to deny this because they mentioned Pokemon. Had they mentioned it in the description, we would have. Now, let me tell you why this is, Cole. I have no proof that this is the cul-de-sac that's located on Traverse Circle in Woodbury, Minnesota. This is just a picture of two trees. And I don't know what else to say about it, but it's just a picture of two trees. Now, if you go over and you look at the supporting photo, so the main photo, it's literally you're looking at the street and there's two trees and that's it. And the supporting photo is he or she or they backed up and took a photo of more of the street and the two trees. And I still couldn't tell you, Chris, if that's a cul-de-sac or just a street. I can't tell. But it's a very, I don't know, somebody wasted a nomination. That's what I'll say. I think somebody really wasted one of their 40 nominations because...
Yeah,
we've always said just because something is in the game doesn't mean that it's eligible to be in the game. But I don't think anywhere that I know of is there anything like this that's in the game that would lead someone to believe that this would be eligible.
Yeah, I think that this was just a case of trying to find things to put in places. Saying, oh, look, that's a cool tree.
You know what? I think, oh, man. So remember earlier when I said this wouldn't happen, I think this just happened. Someone said, hey, here's an open cell. Let me nominate these trees.
Yep. That's exactly what it was.
You were just proven right so quickly. God, I hate that. Yep. All right. Yeah, you were right. Okay. You're right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, anything else you have today?
No, I think that's it. I think this is, we've gone long enough. It's Father's Day. Let's get
people back out there doing their grilling or whatever they do. And all right, I'll go ahead and roll us off. So thank you all for listening to this episode of Wastebotters. We really, really, really appreciate you all. And we can't have an episode of Wastewaters without shouting out our executive producer, Kate DeCons. You rock. Continue to post things in the chat at 3 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. And I will continue to respond back when I wake up around 7. You and Chris continue to have these late night conversations. I love it. We also love all of our Patreons. So if you're not a Patreon, I'll talk about how you can become one in the future. Continue to send us messages and we will use it. So again, thank you so much. Now, if you enjoy what you hear, there's a few ways that you can show us that you love us, right? The first way is you can follow us on Twitter at wastewaters.com. We are incredibly responsive and one of us is always responding to you, you know, hitting you back up on your DMs. So you can always hit us up on Twitter. We are also on Instagram at Wastewaters Podcast. So you can go there and look at some of the pictures and the shorts that we post. I'll say it again. This is probably our most neglected social media, and we will get better at doing Instagram because we know there's a lot of people on the gram, as the kids say, or IG, as the kids say. Next, you can find us on TikTok at imakewastebots.com. You guys have been awesome with this. The reception that we're getting on TikTok is phenomenal, and we really appreciate you. We love interacting with our listeners on all the platforms. And like Chris has said a couple of weeks back, we've got over 2,500, now 3,000 views on some of our TikToks. So if you haven't had a chance to check out our TikTok, go to our TikTok at imakewastebots.com. Second, what you can do is you can visit our website, www.wastebotters.com. From there, you can get the links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website. Or you can email us like Rob did at wastebotters@pokemonprofessor.com. Now, for those of you who are watching us right now on YouTube, you guys are on the cutting edge of technology right now. But for those of you who are listening to the audio podcast, you can go to youtube.com/@wastebotterspodcast. There you can get to see Chris and I's pretty faces and our Wastebotters t-shirts. And feel free to watch all of our shorts. We do a great job. I should say we. When I say we, I mean Chris does a great job of getting it edited and getting all the shorts out for video. So go and visit that. Third, if you have a phone that can dial an American number, you can call 704-426-3710. Leave us a voicemail on our hotline. I promise I will not answer the phone when it rings. You can leave us a voice message and we will play that voice message on the show. Now, Chris, we don't normally have conversations in the outro, but we need to add something starting next week. We need to remind people that they can send us a review on either Apple or Spotify or wherever.
Yes.
And then like we've been reading these reviews, so we'll put that in for next week. So finally, yes, if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Patreon, you can join for as little as $1 US a month, $1.33 Canadian, and $1.50 Australian. And again, if you want your country mentioned in the conversion, let us know and we will add it in. You will have access to the Discord for all the family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastewaters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcast, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. And with that, we look forward to you listening to us again next week on the Wastewaters Podcast. We really appreciate you. And remember, there's only one way to stop a fire. Pause my mixtape. We'll see you later.